Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week, we look at the Senate bill that just might target P2P networks. We look into a free webpage analyzer tool. We hear from a listener in Edinburgh, Scotland, and we get the unbiased facts about the U.S. presidential candidate's campaign claims.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com. WebTalk is also brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
You're connected to WebTalk Radio at WebTalkRadio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us from around the world, and we keep you plugged into the latest net trends and the coolest internet-connected devices right here every week.
Hello, world of tomorrow! This is Dana Greenlee, coming from the future. Thank you for joining us on the World Wild Web. We've got a lot of internet topics for you today.
The unbiased facts about the U.S. presidential candidate's campaign's claims.
Amid woes, email volume continues to grow.
Senate bill targets peer-to-peer networks.
A free webpage analyzer tool is upgraded.
And we're going to have an answer to last week's question of the week. Is Google penalizing content sites PR for selling sponsored links? And is it forcing advertisers to buy links from Google? Or is Google really improving their search results? We hear from some listeners who have some thoughts on that, and you're going to hear some of our thoughts on it as well.
And also in our digital mailbag, we hear from a listener in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Presidential elections are nearing in the U.S. this fall, and we're seeing a growing bombardment of claims and facts in the media on both sides of the political fence. And it doesn't matter whether you're a candidate on the Republican or Democratic side, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution assures freedom of speech, and that freedom makes it legal for all presidential candidates to mislead and be less than truthful in their attacks against the opposite party's candidate. And we all need a place to go that reviews these claims against the facts, and none has really existed before now. And later in the show today, we're going to be speaking with Brooks Jackson, who's the director of FactCheck.org, and they're going to give us a glimpse into the presidential truth online.
What a lot of people are shocked to find out is that while it is illegal for a commercial advertiser of toys or soap or anything else to put up false or misleading advertising, the Federal Trade Commission can jump in and extract fines from companies or issue basically orders that these ads be taken off the air. There is no such law, at least at the federal level, regarding campaign ads. So basically, voters have got to beware. It's absolutely true that, for the most part, it's legal for candidates to lie to you just as much as they want.
It's time for a look into what's happening around the internet this week. Rob, Comdex had some news. Oh, how sad.
Yeah, I think the Comdex trade show down in Las Vegas has hit the road, hit the end of the road, I should say. And what they've done is they've announced that this year's event date has been postponed or delayed, and they haven't announced the future date. So I would say that Comdex is probably dead, but a lot of people have been saying that Comdex is kind of on the outs because CES, the consumer electronics stuff, is really dominating now. So this doesn't surprise me.
Oh, that's pretty sad. Well, another thing that makes me sad is a lot of emails that are coming from unsolicited sources. It's just continuing to grow. No big revolutionary idea here.
One thing that is kind of fascinating is you would think that email volume would kind of taper off because of all the spam filtering that's going on. And, you know, the email really isn't getting through to people as much as it used to. But it's really continuing to grow and become a real negative thing online. But it's also still growing and doing well. So, you know, what's happened is search marketing has really taken over the attention, really in spite of all of the negative press that's continuing to grow and proliferate there about email.
Obviously, everybody seems to use email. I know there's some that don't, but Pew Internet and American Life Survey came out with 91% of internet users between age 18 and 64. That's just about everybody. Sends and reads email. 91%. So it's just like the big activity.
And nothing else comes close except for search.
Well, we are going to be talking about the presidential race coming up later in the show. And there's another political angle right here with the Senate.
The U.S. Senate has put a bill on the floor that will make it easier for companies to sue peer-to-peer networks like Casa and some of these file-sharing trading networks. And I think it's a way for the big companies like the record labels to be able to more easily sue folks that have some sort of libelous relationship to any kind of file trading software program. So it's not a really great news for open development of technology online,
but it does protect copyrighted material.
Well, it does. And I'm not sure that this is entirely constitutional, what they're doing here. So we'll just have to follow it and see what happens.
That's right. Not passed, folks, just introduced to the bill. So we'll see. As we mentioned before, there's an upgraded version of a web page analyzer tool that we've talked about before on this show. It's at webpageanalyzer.com. Andy King is responsible for that nifty little tool. He's been on a show several times talking about website optimization. He wrote the book Website Optimization. And this little tool lets you enter in your URL, go to the website, webpageanalyzer.com, enter in your URL that you want to check to see how fast loading your page is. And it comes back with a ton of information, statistics, and he's added a lot more in this new upgrade. Just want to let you all know about it.
Yeah, this is one of the few places online where you can actually go and have your website check for how fast it loads and what the total download is for all your graphics on your website, as well as the HTML. So it's a terrific place to go check out, kind of optimize your website.
Rob, last week we introduced the subject, really, of Google sort of penalizing content sites or any website page ranking when these websites are maybe selling sponsored links. And, you know, we do a little bit of that, and we've seen our page rank drop a bit.
Yeah, because we have a lot of links off of our website, and I think Google's looking for sites that have a lot of off links going off to other areas, and I think they're kind of penalizing those because they're seeing that there's a lot of sponsored link type websites out there that are kind of trying to spam the index. We did get an email from Michael Larabell, and he's with a website called foronix.com, and that's foronix.com, and he's in Michigan. He's 16 years old, and he agrees that Google is penalizing sites, and you know, he basically says, yes, he's getting impacted from it with his website. The site he's referring to here, which is the site I just gave you the URL for, has only been up a couple of weeks, and he's saying that it's suffering in Google, and I just wanted to tell Michael, it's probably not been up long enough for it to really get properly indexed by Google, so I wouldn't be too concerned if you're not showing up in the index yet. He's all concerned about text links on his site causing his page rank to be zero right now, but just hang in there. I think you're doing all the right things with your website, so I appreciate the email, Michael, and good luck with your website.
Also, I was happy to see another email come through in our digital mailbag from James Coots. He's from Edinburgh, Scotland, and James writes that your great Web Talk radio show keeps me updated and entertained on my commute from outside of Edinburgh to the city center. He says, I wish your show aired more frequently because he writes he has about a two-hour listening time per day, and of course, we only put out 1 hour a week. So James writes that he's been digging into our archived shows and filling up that time. James says, I'm a marketing officer for the National Galleries of Scotland. And if y'all want to take a look at that, it's cool. It's nationalgalleries.org. He promotes the venues and exhibitions for the Dean Gallery and the Scottish National Gallery of Modern Art. And it's kind of interesting. I just wanted to point out that he wrote in, he wanted to have an invitation to Orkut. That's the social networking site, because he's, as a marketer, very into marketing and networking. He says little has been written in terms of arts marketing, and he's thinking of putting together sort of the current thinking and boiling the findings down to how to measure and encourage and evaluate word-of-mouth marketing, particularly in the arts. So, great. I would love to see that, James. That's a fine endeavor to pursue. And I hope that ORCID helps you in doing a little investigation on that whole word of mouth marketing.
Well, it's an extremely powerful thing, and it's really the hottest thing in marketing right now is word of mouth, because people like to have testimonials to prove the validity of anything that they're looking at purchasing or participating in, and certainly word of mouth is a vote, basically, for that. We appreciate the email, James. It was great to hear from you, and we wish you luck in the ORCID site, because we actually sent you an email invitation to that. And if you would like an invitation to ORCID, which is the Google social networking website, send an email to me at rob@webtalkradio.com, and I'll send you an invite.
That'll be a good way to look up James Coots, because he's in there now.
That's
too.
Right.
If you have some ideas on word of mouth or arts marketing, there's a nice little sub-community.
And there's a lot of people joining ORCID, so it's growing real fast.
Support for Web Talk every week is provided by our friends over at web.com, one of the best website names on the web, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the best one, all
web. Right. Web.com. They provide web hosting and web domain name registration for as little as $4.95. The hosting is as little as $7.95 a month, so definitely check them out if you're thinking on getting on the web. It's at web.com.
We're also sponsored by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com, and they have a terrific internet recording software program that records online radio. So go check them out at replay-radio.com.
We're also supported by our friends over at InfoCreek.com. They're a low-cost website design firm. They do a great job with high-tech looking websites, so check out their portfolio page. Take a look at what our soon-to-be-launched Web Talk Radio redo is going to look like over there. Now stay connected, because in just seconds we'll be looking at factcheck.org. And its director, Brooks Jackson, is going to help us see and separate fact from fiction when it comes to what the presidential candidates in the Americas are saying.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Hey, Radio Lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
Web Talk Guys, downloading.
Web Talk Guys, buffering.
You're back with Web Talk at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and Danny Greenlee is in here again with me.
Presidential elections are nearing in the U.S. They're coming up in November, and the political mud-throwing is growing, and voters are getting bombarded by claims and facts on both sides of the political fence. You know, it doesn't matter whether a candidate's Republican or a Democrat. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution assures freedom of speech, and that freedom makes it legal for all presidential candidates to mislead or be less than truthful in their attacks against the opposite party's candidates.
Yeah, and we all need a place to go that is reviewing those claims against the facts. None has really existed before now, but there is a place to go, and it's the Annenberg Political Fact Check at fact.com. fact-check.org. And this is a project of the Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania. Brooks Jackson, the director of factcheck.org, is on the line with us to tell us about his Washington, D.C.-based website. Brooks, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on the show.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Why don't you tell us how and why your organization came into existence?
Well, I was doing this sort of work at CNN for a long time when I was a correspondent there. I left CNN, was looking for another gig. And the Annenberg Center offered me this job. I thought it was a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah, it's important.
Now, I'm interested. Tell us a little bit about what you did at CNN, and was it indeed fact-checking for them?
That's right. One of the things I did there as a correspondent was to do a lot of what we called ad watches or ad police at one point. Mm-hmm. And we did it in collaboration, actually, with the Annenberg School. Kathleen Hall Jamison was dean of the school at the time, and she's still director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center, and she had done research that really showed us the correct way to do an ad watch. The problem was that earlier TV ad watches, it kind of backfired if you don't handle the graphics and the visual elements of these things correctly. People end up paying more attention to the ad and actually believing the ad more than if you hadn't tried to debunk it at all. Kathleen Jamison and I, Dr. Jamison, go back a long way, and this is really a continuation of a decade-old partnership.
So there really are sort of like rules and regs as far as the proper way to really fact-check an ad.
Well, it's true. On television, at least, humans just give so much weight to visual information that if the reporter's saying one thing and the graphics on the screen are saying something else, they tend to filter out what the reporter's saying.
It's
kind of background noise. It's just the way we're wired as human animals, and you need to know that if you're a television journalist.
How long have you guys been taking your fact-checking to the web? What's been the duration?
I started in this job early September, and we had to develop the website while we were also trying to pay attention to what the candidates at that point, the Democratic candidates for the nomination, were saying. We went public with factcheck.org as a website on December 4th, and it's been pretty hectic ever since.
I would imagine.
Well, that's interesting. It's been hectic because I was curious, you know, who comes to visit you more, journalists or maybe the political camps or just the average consumer that wants to know the deal?
Well, I've been pleasantly surprised with how many just civilians have come into our website. We're getting something like 9,000 visits per day, as nearly as we can tell. 20,000 people have signed up to get free emailed articles. Much more of a reaction than I would have guessed. I thought when we started this that we would be probably primarily a service to other journalists who didn't have time to dig into some of the nitty-gritty of the check the factual accuracy of some of these statements. Turns out that there are an awful lot of people out there who are really puzzled by these conflicting claims and thankful for a politically neutral source to try to sort it all out for them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, that's why I wanted to have you on this program, is that it seems like what you're doing is so important because it just seems like there just isn't anybody else out there that's unbiased. Would you say that the mainstream media is just as unbiased as you guys are, or do you think that there is a little bit of bias there?
Well, I have to leave it to others to determine whether they think we've got a bias or not. We certainly try to be. We are nonpartisan. We try to be non-ideological.
Mm-hmm.
We try to play it right down the middle. And I have to say, one of the best days we had was when both the Kerry and the Bush campaigns quoted us, factcheck.org,
wow,
competing news releases, giving us as evidence that the other side was shading the facts. So figure we had them pretty well zeroed in.
That sounds like a terrific outcome. That's probably exactly what you wanted, I'm sure.
Tell us what they said, what each camp said.
I can't recall offhand the exact pieces that we're talking about here, but each of them had seized on an article we'd done criticizing the other side, and they say, see, as factcheck.org says, the other side is not telling the truth.
Yeah, because it certainly seems like that there's a lot of extreme things being said in the political campaign right now. And what's kind of your perspective on your role in that process? I mean, is the media threatened by that, and are the political candidates kind of threatened by it as well?
I don't know if threatened is a word I would use. I certainly haven't used it. My own view has been for a long time that reporters who cover politics for a long time have probably put too much emphasis on the kind of inside baseball aspects of politics, who's mm-hmm. raising the most money, which campaign manager got fired, or, you know, which media consultant got hired. It all goes back to that wonderful book that Teddy White wrote about the making of the president in 1960, the mm-hmm. Kennedy campaign, for the first time kind of covered all the inner workings of campaigns, and a lot of political coverage has been modeled on that ever since. Unfortunately, that kind of takes away from the amount of time and effort that's spent reporting what exactly the candidates are saying and examining whether their policy positions really comport with reality, whether what they're saying is factually accurate. So
mm-hmm.
I like to think what we're doing at factcheck.org is just a old-fashioned journalism.
Now, this may be kind of a big question, I don't know, but when you, Brooks, are aware that there is some statement made out by, you know, the Democrats, the Republicans, I mean, how do you become aware of that, and then how do you go about fact-checking it?
Well, Dana, first of all, we do try to monitor what the candidates are saying, what their campaigns are putting out. We looked first and foremost for any TV ads that they're putting out, because so much money is spent on those, and for so many voters, it's just a primary way that they get their information. It's also a way the campaigns kind of sum up in little 30-second digests what they think the most important thing is to say that day. So
mm-hmm.
we look at the ads. We also look at what's said at debates, what's said in interviews, what's the whole campaign dialogue. And then we look to see whether there are any factual claims made. A lot of ads really don't make any factual claims. We were all reminded recently of those Ronald Reagan re-election ads. Say it's morning again in America. Well, that doesn't really state a fact. It states kind of, I don't know, an allegory. But if factual claims are being made, for example, that John Kerry voted more than 350 times for higher taxes, then we take a look at that. And that's a factual claim. And the Bush, in this particular case, the Bush campaign, sure enough, has a list of 350 votes. But if you look at it closely, you find that most of those votes really were votes to keep taxes the same, not for higher taxes, because he voted against somebody's proposed tax cut. Well, they mm-hmm. say, well, vote for taxes that are higher than they would have been if he'd voted the other way. Well, that's not the way most people would hear that. They think of it as a vote to raise taxes. So we dig into things like that.
Well, that example just boggles my mind, because that means you, or hopefully you have some a staff that can help, are counting votes over the years and
yeah.
tallying
wow.
them.
I mean, in that case, you didn't have to really dig that deeply. We looked at a lot of votes. We didn't count each one of them, but it was clear from the way the Bush campaign research staff presented their findings that they fell into three categories. One of them was, you know, there were indeed some votes to raise taxes. They said he voted 11 times to raise the gasoline tax. Well, that's true. Now, nine of those votes, if I'm remembering right, were all votes that resulted in one 4.3 cent per gallon increase.
Mm-hmm.
The way things work in the Senate, you can have vote after vote on what on the same issue until it finally passes or gets killed. So there was a little bit of running up the score on that one. But most of them were votes. In some cases, they were votes to cut taxes. They were votes for Democratic alternatives being proposed to Republican tax cuts. So they would characterize that as a vote for higher taxes, because the way they were read it anyway, the Democratic cut wasn't as big as the Republican cut. And there are plenty of examples on the Kerry side, too, of facts that we've dug into
mm-hmm.
and found that are not exactly on the up and up. That just gives you one example of the kind of work we do.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Brooks Jackson. He's the director of factcheck.org, and he's on the phone from the National Press Building in Washington, D.C., explaining how his organization checks facts against the claims made by presidential candidates. More with Brooks in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Yeah. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Welcome back to Web Talk Radio, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is on the other mic with me.
And with us on the phone is Brooks Jackson, director of factcheck.org, explaining how his organization helps check the claims that those presidential candidates are making against what's really accurate.
So would you say that the gloves have kind of come off when it gets to campaign claims online? So are you finding that the web is being used as a stronger tool to get out the message, you know, around a campaign?
Rob, I've got a theory. You know, I've been a big skeptic in the past of how useful the Internet has been to reach out to undecided voters. Now, there's no question the Internet has been, in past campaigns, a useful tool for talking to your committed supporters, people who've got enough motivation to click into your website. I mean, the Internet doesn't reach out and touch you. You've got to reach out and touch the Internet. So it's been great for talking, preaching to the choir. Howard Dean sure showed us that it's a wonderful tool for raising money, especially small donations, because it's so easy just to slam in your credit card number and make a couple of clicks. And if you're motivated, you don't have to go looking for a stamp and an envelope find the address of the campaign that maybe you don't even know what state it's in. It has reduced the friction that's involved in making a campaign donation. Kerry has picked that up as well. He's raising tons of money, and the Internet really has made it easier for people to donate. What I think may be happening, however, in this election is we may be seeing the first instances of the Internet as a useful tool for reaching out to undecided voters. Now, there aren't many undecided voters, but you're seeing the campaigns take paid Internet ads on places like CNN.com, political sites that political junkies hang out at. Both campaigns, parties have used Internet-only ads. That is, fully produced TV ads that are produced that only show up on the Internet, and they encourage their supporters to email them to, or email links to them, to all their friends, even people who might be of the opposite political persuasion. Now, I've got a theory, and maybe some bright PhD candidate someday will test this out. An ad that you see that is mailed to you by a friend, even if it's somebody you disagree with politically, is one that you're going to look at with a bit more open mind than you would an ad that just came through the tube amid all the clutter of beer ads and other stuff. The new thing is everybody's got broadband now, so it's you can email a 30-second TV commercial around without shutting down your Internet access for 20 minutes. Both campaigns have tried it. I don't know how effective it is, but I've got a theory that it might be.
Well, it's what would assume is shifting more of the control of the message out to the people, and people can contribute in discussions and talk about topics and policy online as well. But it also gives the opportunity for misinformation to spread much faster.
Boy, I'll say there is
what's
so
your thought
much
on that?
Bunk out there in various chat rooms and bogus emails that get posted. You really got to be careful of the provenance of information that comes to you over the Internet.
Your article that I saw up on the site, you know, it was really all about false ads and that there ought to be a law against false ads out there. What's your thought on that? I mean, I thought that your article was fascinating because it's not illegal for political candidates to lie to get elected. Right?
Well, it's absolutely true, Rob. There's and we get emails from people saying, why isn't there a law against lying to the voters? What a lot of people are shocked to find out is that while it is illegal for a commercial advertiser of toys or soap or anything else to put up false or misleading advertising, the Federal Trade Commission can jump in and extract fines from companies or issue basically orders that these ads be taken off the air. There is no such law, at least at the federal level, regarding campaign ads. What the article that I wrote stated is that there actually is a pretty good reason for that. The First Amendment is supposed to guarantee freedom of speech, and especially freedom of speech for candidates for office. That's what democracy is all about, is getting ideas out there and letting the voters decide.
Yeah, but that's such a tough thing. I mean, because we all want to get the truth and we want to get the facts. And,
well, nobody said democracy was going to be easy. There have actually been some states that have tried to outlaw false political advertising, and it turns out to be a very tough thing to enforce. We give some examples of some attempts, and sometimes they run into problems with the courts because the laws just overreach and are held to violate freedom of speech. Other times, there may be laws that pass muster that just don't end up in extracting very significant penalties or being very much of a deterrent. So basically, voters have got to beware. It's absolutely true that, for the most part, it's legal for candidates to lie to you just as much as they want.
Yeah, it seems crazy that that's the situation that we're in out there, is that they can lie to us, but it also shifts the responsibility over to us to fact check. And I guess that's why I see what you're doing as being so valuable in this process.
Well, that's what freedom of the press is supposed to be all about.
But is the press that unbiased that we can trust? I mean, what's your thought on that?
You know, I don't think any human being is free of bias. What we try to do as professional journalists is to set those personal opinions aside and present things to, whether they're viewers or internet site visitors or readers, present them to our audience in a fashion that lets them make up their minds, gives them just raw information, sometimes an analytical perspective, but helps them figure out what's going on and make up their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks, I do find what you're doing very valuable. So this may be a bit of an unfair question because you are the top fact checker in the United States. But how would you characterize the two presidential candidates as far as doing their due diligence on presenting the facts accurately? Would you say one side more than the other has made more boo-boos?
I answer that question this way. First of all, we found plenty to criticize on both sides.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And neither campaign is without sin in this area. Neither side is without sin. I just try to stay away from characterizing who's the bigger fibber here, because for a couple of reasons. One is I don't want to get it stuck in my mind that one side is predisposed more than the other, because I think it might influence the way we look at future statements. I mean, what we try to do is take each individual statement and assess it on its own merits. Let the chips fall where they may and count up the chips later.
Yeah, that's fair.
One thing we try to do here, the Internet's a neat tool for this because you can actually link people back to original transcripts of what was said, original source documents in many cases. It takes a lot of time to sort of dig up all these links and put them in there, but we try on this site to be a resource that allows other people to drill down if they want to and explore subjects further. Mm-hmm. Verify for themselves that the way we may be characterizing a statement is not off base, that we're not quoting it out of context. Here's the entire context if you want to see it. Sure. Go take a look.
Read it for yourself.
It does bear repeating, mentioning here that you are not only just unbiased, but you don't take advertising, you don't have lobbyists come give you money or anything like, well, we look at the media and they are profit-motivated.
Yeah, it's a commercial
thing.
They have
advertisers.
Well, that's true. At any television network these days, of course, you're going to be under tremendous pressure to get ratings up, and sometimes that's a pressure to sensationalize things, find conflict where there isn't any, things like that. And it's at the Annenberg Public Policy Center, which is the sponsor of factcheck.org, we don't have those pressures. We're financed totally by the Annenberg Family Foundation. There's no outside money going into this particular project. The Policy Center itself does accept foundation funds to support other projects, but there's no corporate money, there's no lobbyist money, there's no money from political parties or anything like that going into even our parent organization. There is no financial pressure to tilt one way or another, or to hype up things if there's really no hype there.
So will you be doing any fact-checking on Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9-1-1 movie that's coming out here in the next couple of weeks?
I'll tell you, it's so difficult sometimes just to get to the bottom of what's in a 30-second ad.
Yeah, it is.
The thought of going into a two-hour movie. We'll see. Our primary focus is on what the campaigns are saying.
It might come in the back door and that Kerry might use a quote from Michael Moore.
Well, if that happens, we'll have to pick that up. I don't rule it out, but I don't look forward to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has a real crafty way of kind of slanting his information towards an objective that he wants, and I think that's probably the only thing that I realize that he might be a little bit on the biased side, because he is kind of on the liberal side. I wouldn't say he's pure journalism by any means.
I mean, if you heard him interviewed by George Stephanopoulos, and he was asked, is this liberal propaganda? And he said, well, it's my opinion. Didn't shy away from the word propaganda at all.
Well, and that takes us back to the whole bigger premise that we've been talking about here is this is all First Amendment stuff. It's all freedom of speech. And that's what this country is built on.
We take as our motto a quote from the late Senator Moynihan, who was fond of saying that everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but nobody's entitled to their own facts. So
that's true. Well, that's
good. Your opinion's your own business, but just don't make stuff up to support it.
Well, yeah, and the web and the internet is the perfect democratic environment, it seems like, anyway. I mean, it's like it gives everybody a voice. I mean, it allows Dana and I to have a radio show that's broadcast at 12 radio stations, and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about on the air. I mean, we try and keep it as unbiased as we can, but it just seems like that the online area is such an opportunity for us to grow our democracy.
Well, there's a lot of democracy on the web, there's no question. I could point you to some parts of it that look like anarchy to me.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But that's just my opinion, so we better get away from that and stick to facts.
Well, that also exists offline as well. So
true enough.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Brooks Jackson. He's the director of factcheck.org. More with Brooks in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
The Web Talk Guys. The audio download begins now.
I'm Rob Greenlee, and this is Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. Dana Greenlee is in here with me, too.
And with us on the phone is Brooks Jackson, director of factcheck.org. I wanted to point out to people that are listening that you do have streaming video on your site because you let people watch the ads. Why don't you tell a little bit about that part where you can watch streaming video ads?
Yes, it's a kind of primitive streaming video. We still try to make our stuff accessible to those who just have dial-up access. So these are low-resolution digital versions of the TV ad. Anytime we critique an ad, I thought it was important that people be able to see the whole ad. Mm-hmm. and hear the whole ad so that they can decide for themselves if we're criticizing one little thing out of context or not. You know, if we were better at our IT, why, we might have a better streaming video, but I thought it was important to have some sort of ability to see the entire ad when we're critiquing one.
From what I've seen on your site, you're doing a terrific job of offering those kind of things. I think you're doing a great job with it. What's the future for factcheck.org? What's your...
Well, the future is we're going to work like beavers right through the election. Dr. Jameson and I, who, as I mentioned before, is the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center, will plan to co-author a book about based on the findings. It's not decided what factcheck.org will do after the election as a website, though. We've had a number of people who think we ought to expand it to do this sort of thing in all 50 states. Well, that would take quite a bit of doing, I think.
Well,
I'm having a good time at it. We'll see if after the election I feel the same way and what the demand is and what the resources are.
There's certainly an opportunity probably to offer this kind of service at even local campaigns and those kind of things. It just require a whole lot bigger staff, wouldn't it?
Well, that's true. It takes no less work, I think, to check into a statement that's made by candidate for governor than it does to check into a statement made by a candidate for president. Now, just theoretically speaking here, continuing something like this through a non-election year would also be of use, I think, because legislation comes up in Congress. There are, if not TV ads, there are certainly debates and big matters of public concern where you get conflicting statements and the public gets confused. You recall what happened when the Clintons first came in. Huge debate over expanding public health insurance and big advertising campaigns launched by the health insurance industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I would anticipate that in a Kerry administration or in a second Bush administration, there will be things to look at.
Brooks, I imagine that you probably do get a lot of feedback from site visitors. Maybe they have their own opinion on things, and maybe they're not as tactful as they could be. Who knows? But I'm just curious, do you have, because you post many articles up there on different things, like the draft hoax and such. Has there been any one particular fact or correction that you've made that maybe has garnered the most feedback?
Boy, hard to say. I think probably feelings were running highest about the Bush military record.
Mm,
we had a couple of pieces on that. There had been a lot of, websites devoted for years to making the case that George Bush was AWOL from military service. When we weighed in on that and tried to, after Michael Moore made his comment in the presidential forum, we got tons of critical mail about that. It's very typical now, we get flames from Republicans if we're criticizing something Bush said, and flames from Democrats if we've criticized something Kerry has said. Comments we get are more like, keep up the good work, and we're glad there's some place where we can go to help sort things out. I'm a Democrat, but I appreciate what you're doing, or I'm a Republican, but I appreciate what you're doing.
That's
what keeps us going. It's a good things to get.
I was on your site the other day, and I noticed that the one of the articles you had up there was focused on the draft fears, that there's been some fueling of concern about the draft coming in the fall, and what you guys found is that those facts are wrong.
Well, there's been a kind of a bogus email going around stating that the draft is coming in June of next year, and the kind of insidious thing about it is that it cites a couple of real bills that really are before Congress that would, in fact, if they were passed, require universal national service of both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what it doesn't say is that those were introduced by a couple of Democrats before the war to make the political point that the folks who were making the decisions in Washington didn't have kids who had to go fight the war. And those bills have been sitting without any hearing scheduled and no action expected for a year and a half.
It's possible that they could progress, but they haven't progressed.
Well, even Charlie Rangel, who was the Democratic congressman from Manhattan, who was the principal sponsor of the House mm-hmm. version of this, says, I'm not pushing it. So,
mm-hmm.
And there were other false things said in that email. One was that there'd been a big increase in the budget for the Selective Service Agency, Selective Service Administration, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely false. Mm. It's they got the same money this year as they got last year, and Bush is asking the same amount of money for next year. And because of inflation, it's projected they'll actually have to reduce staff. So, there could well be a national emergency that will require a renewal of conscription, which we haven't had since, I believe, 1973.
Mm-hmm.
But it's manifestly not on the horizon right now. The Pentagon doesn't want it. The Bush administration says they don't want it. There is no active push by anybody in Congress to bring it about right now. So somebody was fanning the fears out there and getting mm-hmm. a lot of people upset. I got a lot of emails from parents and university kids who were really worried about this. The reasons stated in that email were just wrong, and it was really, really overblown.
Yeah, and this is a perfect example of how your organization serves a tremendous purpose and reason for existence out there, is to debunk these things that scare people.
Well, Rob, it's nice of you to say that, and I'm glad to hear that somebody appreciates it.
What is the best way for some of our listeners to actually get a hold of you or help your organization?
Well, since we don't accept outside donations, even small ones, just to avoid any question about them, You can keep your checkbook closed, but you can email us at editor@factcheck.org or just link into the website and take a look. And if you like, you can sign up for to get our articles emailed to you. We try to post 2 to 3 new articles a week.
Yeah, that's great.
Don't want to create a lot of spam here, and these things do take time.
You
and it may pick up as the campaign goes on.
You are working on an article right now. What's the next topic that we can look forward to?
Oh, well, we're looking into just what it was the Bush administration said about contracts with Iraq and al-Qaeda, and whether or not the latest September 11th commission finding contradicts that or not.
Oh,
interesting thing, I'll give you a preview here. If you listen to weekend talk shows, you know that even the commissioners on the 9/11 commission disagree about whether their own staff findings contradict what was said or not. So this is one where we'll quote what people said and give you links back to the original documents when we can, and let our visitors be the judge.
Brooks, it was great to have you on the program with us. It's great to speak
Dana,
with you.
Good to be here. Thank you for caring about factcheck.org.
Yeah, that's great, Brooks. Thanks again.
My pleasure.
For joining us. Okay.
All right.
We've been talking with Brooks Jackson. He's the director of factcheck.org. Well, that's it for this week. We're wrapping up another web talk show. Hope you all learned something, because we always try and bring you just a new little fact here and there to help your digital life go a little bit smoother. That's what we're striving for anyway.
Yes, it is. And thank you for letting us into your ears this week again. And we look forward to seeing you at our website at webtalkradio.com. And once you come back and listen to us next week, we'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel. We'll